بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعض فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا جاء رمضان فتحت أبواب الجنة رواه البخاري. My dear respected elders, brothers and young ones, and those listening at home, it is a mercy and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jal has enabled us and given us the opportunity and ability to be in the month of Ramadan. There are many of us that will know many people from our family and our close friends that do not have this ability today, meaning they have passed away in the last year. And that is the way of life, that some of us, we go from this world and some of us stay until we go again, then until a time where it's fixed for us to go also. In the very same manner, how as Muslims, or how do we make the most of the month of Ramadan? So the first question is, that what is Ramadan? What is the month of Ramadan? Is Ramadan just fasting, just doing qiyam, just standing in the Taraweeh prayer? And other than that, we live our normal life. We wake up, we go work, we come back. What we were doing on a normal day-to-day basis, we do the same thing. How we were, how we conducted ourselves, we are doing the same aspect every day. The question is this the Ramadan that we are being asked for? So here Imam Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he narrates a chapter. And as we know, the chapters of Bukhari are very famous, because after relating the chapter, he gives the evidence. The chapter is the evidence. And then he gives a hadith. And he relates a chapter, بَابٌ مَنْ لَمْ يَضَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فِي الصَّوْمِ, that regarding that a person who fasts but does not give up evil speech, that what is with that person that fasts but he does not give up any evil speech? Then he relates a hadith on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, who relates, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ هَجَةً فِي أَنْ يَدَعْ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ, that person who does not give up evil speech and evil actions, Allah is not in need of his fasting and his leaving of food. Meaning, the Muhaddithun rahimahullahu ta'ala here relate, what does it mean by Allah azza wa jal is not in need? Very simply, it means that this person will not receive reward for his fasting. And this is why, number one, when we are fasting, the first thing, we have taken ourselves away from food and drink, which, as we have said, is in our DNA, is part of us being human. In the very same manner, those things that are greater and harder to give up, well, they should actually be easier to give up. Our speech, those things that we know that we are saying wrong, or we know and we have to think about, how did I present myself? What was my mannerism? Did I hurt somebody? Did I offend somebody? All of these aspects are meant to be made known to us in the month of Ramadan. Hence, this is why. Why do we fast? كُتِبَ يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. We fast so that we can become God conscious. We fast so that we instill taqwa within us. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam relates, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامٍ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ, There are many people that fast, but they receive nothing from their fast except for hunger. Meaning again, they've fasted, they've taken the time out, but they have not ensured that the way they are meant to fast, they have not fasted. Again, evil actions, evil speech, diminished all of those good deeds that could have been accumulated in the month of Ramadan. And this is why fasting in itself is meant to create taqwa within us. It's meant to make us more God conscious. What is taqwa? Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an. He was in the court of Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an. Ka'b, a great sahabi. So Umar radiyallahu an, Amir al-Mu'mineen, says to him, O Ka'b, I ask you, what is taqwa? And this was the way of the Salaf, that they would remind each other. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he does not have to ask Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an. But he asked Ka'b, what is taqwa? So Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an says, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, let me describe and explain taqwa to you. And this is a description that we hear many times. But think about how this is meant to impact our lives. As we said last night, after the Qiyam, after the Tarawih prayer, this is not for entertainment. Sometimes we need to understand that what is happening within inside me spiritually, I am taking from the Salah of Jumu'ah. So Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu says, O Amirul Mu'mineen, have you ever walked past a garden which has so much thorns? And you have to be so careful when you walk. So Amirul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala says, yes. So Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu says, O Amirul Mu'mineen, you will find that you will have to check every step that you walk. And you will have to ensure that your clothes, sometimes you will have to put them up so that you don't get them tangled within the thorns. So Umar radiyallahu an agrees. Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an says, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, this is taqwa. This is taqwa. What it means is in our lives, we will have to walk, we will have to go into the course of our life. But every step that we take, we will have to find, is this allowed? Is Allah happy for me to do this? Is this within the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal? And we will have to be very in every aspect. When this comes into our life, then learn that there is an aspect of taqwa within us. If this doesn't come, then learn that the aspect of taqwa has not even touched us yet. Hence, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala and relates, on the day of Qiyamah, a caller will call out, Aina al-Muttaqoon, that where are those that have taqwa? And Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala and then relates, that these people that have taqwa, Allah Azza wa Jal will make them stand up. And when they stand up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relate to them, from my mercy, because you had taqwa, we forgive you, go to Jannah. That is the reward and the recompense of having taqwa. And this is why, one of the aspects, how do we learn taqwa? This is another also aspect that we should ask ourselves. How do we learn taqwa? One is fasting. One is looking at the pious people around us that have taqwa. And number two is looking at the way of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, that when they accepted Islam, remember the Sahaba, and as we say this all the time, they weren't all old or something. Some were young, some were middle age, and yes, some were old. They were in all categories. Some were wealthy, some were poor, some were doing business, some were in the fields. There were all types of different categories. And when they accepted Islam, and they had to have such God consciousness that cannot be even fathomed to us in our minds. It relates Hazrat Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala an. He comes to the court of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. Hazrat Khabbab is coming from the conquest of Persia. And Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, he's sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And while sitting in the masjid, he has a group of people around him. Some are companions, some are tabi'i. Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala an comes forth. And Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an says, O Khabbab, come close to us. And Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an has laid out a sheet, and that sheet is right in front of him. Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala says, "Oh Amirul Mu'mineen, who is the sheet for?" Meaning that you have laid out something to give reverence and respect to someone. Who is it for? So Umar radiyallahu ta'ala says, "By the qasam of Allah, it is for the one that went through the most difficulty in our times." And I mean Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala an says, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, let me tell you my story." He says, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, I still remember the time when the disbelievers, they would grab hold of Khabbab and they would kindle a fire. And they would grab me and drag my body over the fire. And they would place hot charcoal on top of my body. And then they would stamp on me." And he says, "By the qasam of Allah, the pus that came out of the body of Khabbab, this is what took out the fire." He says, "Oh Amirul Mu'mineen, yes, Bilal radiyallahu anhu went through great hardship. But by the oath of Allah, there were people that helped Bilal. But he says, for Khabbab, it was a secret and nobody knew. That nobody knew what was at stake." And then he relates, Hazrat Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala an, he takes off his shawl, his blanket that he is wearing, he puts it down. Amirul Mu'mineen Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an looks at this blanket and tears began to flow from his eyes. And he kisses the part of the body and he says, "By the qasam of Allah, I have never seen a buck like this." But the question is again, what made them so steadfast on this religion? That hardship upon hardship. Take, you know, you can take any companion and you will find a story of such great hardship. Take Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. The great leader of our, that we say that the master of Hadith is Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. He gave us the most Hadith. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he is in Sham and he has a handkerchief made out of a certain type of material. He looks at his handkerchief and he starts to weep. And they say, "Oh Abu Huraira, why are you weeping?" He says, "By the qasam of Allah, I remember the time when I used to be in between the minbar of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. I used to be in the middle of it." And he says, "There were so many times that I would faint. And people would say that Abu Huraira has gone mad." He says, "By the qasam of Allah, it is because of al-jaw. It is because of extreme hunger. Because of extreme hunger, I used to faint." He says that, "I remember that time very famously." And for example, Zubair ibn al-Awwam. Imagine this, a child who's one of the Ashar al-Mubashara. Zubair ibn al-Awwam is one of the 10 that was granted paradise by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 8 years old. That's why I said at the beginning, some of these stories, today's day and age, we can't even fathom. 8 years old. He accepts Islam. He's from a wealthy and noble family. His uncle says to him, "Either you denounce Islam, you renounce it, you go away from it, or I will torture you in such a manner that you cannot even think of." 8 years old. He says, "Oh my uncle, I will never forsake the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So then he ties him up. He literally ties him upside down and he lights a fire underneath. And the smoke of this fire is going through on his child. And he says, "Take Islam, renounce Islam, give up Islam, and I will stop torturing you." Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiyallahu ta'ala and then relates, "By the qasam of Allah, I can die, but I cannot take away Islam." Now the question is again, why all of this? Why all of this? It's because when they accepted Islam, when they read this kalima, la ilaha illallah, they meant that every aspect of our body, every iota of our body is for the sake of Allah. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he gives to us, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا, whatever he gives to us, we will take. Whatever he tells us to refrain from, we will refrain from. And this is why, with sabr, with taqwa, comes ita'ah. That when you are God conscious, you will start to become obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is where it comes in, that we need to make sure that this month of Ramadan, which is meant to enable us, we meant to see that from the last month of Ramadan, how great has our taqwa become? How great has our faith become? There is no way in the world that a person says, the way I was 2 years ago, I should be the same today. Everybody has an aspect that they have to improve. That's part of life, and that's part of human nature. In the very same way, we are meant to ask ourselves, last Ramadan went, by Allah, I don't know if I'm going to live to the next Ramadan. So did I achieve greater taqwa in this Ramadan? Am I going to achieve? How am I going to achieve? And this is where the Quran al-Kareem comes in. How much Quran am I reciting? It was the way of the Salaf that they would recite Quran in this month to an extent that we cannot even fathom again. It relates in relation to Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. He used to finish 60 khatams of the Quran in this 1 month of Ramadan. It relates regarding Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. The month of Ramadan used to come and every class that he used to do finished. That's it, no more class. And he said that this is the month of the Quran. One khatam of Quran every day by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. This was the same way of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. This was the same way. It relates in Sirat al-A'lam, Imam Qatada rahimahullah ta'ala, he relates that my average time to finish a Quran during the year was 7 days. But when the month of Ramadan came, I ensured that I finished one Quran 1 day in the month of Ramadan. And then he says that this was the way of our pious predecessors. This was the way of our pious predecessors. Why? All of this effort is so that we can get a connection with Allah. This is what is meant to be. The month of Ramadan is we get a connection with Allah. The month of Ramadan is we become God conscious. We boost our iman to such a self that for the remaining year we are able to be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah give us ability to understand ability to amal. Wa akhir wa da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح لا إله إلا الله